CortezRadio.ca. I'm your host, Maureen Bader, and this is Art on the Island. During the program, I'll speak live with Cortez Island artists. We'll talk about their stories, their inspirations, and their current projects. Best of all, you can call in to ask questions and make comments. Call into the studio at 250-935-0200. Listen most Fridays between 9 and 9:30 a.m. And again, back on Art on the Island with Maureen Bader. I'm here with our guest today, Leslie Mac Mumford. But first, let's take a look at the weather. We have a wind warning. Let's hope we have power to the end of the show. But if we do, we'll keep going. So keep on listening. Hopefully you have a battery-operated radio. It's about 8 degrees now, and things have cleared up. That is one of the good things about the wind, I guess. It blows the clouds away. But we do expect some rain later on, again, probably starting later on this afternoon or late this evening, with winds 20 kilometers an hour, except 50 near the Strait of Georgia, and temperature is going to stay steady near 8. Tonight we have the rain ending after midnight, then mainly cloudy with winds 30 kilometers southeast, except gusting to 70 to 90 near the Strait of Georgia. And just so people remember that the CKTZ lip sync is coming up pretty soon in February. February 23rd, this is your chance to break out of the winter doldrums, have some serious fun, and support Cortez Radio. Rehearsal will begin on February 22nd between 4 and 6 p.m. And as always, both will be happening at Manson's Hall. Please let us know if you're preparing an act. Either give us a call at 250-935-6405 or send us an email at cortezradio@gmail.com. So, Leslie, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Maureen.
It's great to see you. So, you've been on Cortez Island for how long now?
25 years.
Oh, that's a long time.
Yeah, since 94, so my math somewhere in there, anyways.
Yeah, it's amazing how time flies by.
Yeah.
And where are you from originally?
I was born in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And I came to Toronto in 1974.
And you were traveling with your parents, I guess.
Yeah. 5 years of age.
Okay. Yeah. And so one of the things, or your big thing now here on the island, is skincare products. Have you done that for a long time?
I have been making some kind of salves or tinctures, anything along that line, probably 20 plus years. Mm. But it was always for myself, for the mm-hmm. family, you know, to share with friends. But I've been doing the Cortez Creations line, so on a larger scale, still a small business, but a larger scale for me, since 2013, so about 5 years.
Why did you start making these healthy skin salves?
The Cortez Creations?
Well, no, right at the very beginning. I mean, why would somebody just start doing that?
I love plants.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really interested in the medicinal value of plants,
mm-hmm.
mostly weeds. And I started working on organic farms in my year between university studies.
Oh.
I went to California, just kind of headed out west. I wanted to go to BC, but the weather was very wet and rainy, just like today. And, and my friends and I, we headed down to California, didn't have a job, and ended up working on a farm. And I thought it was super boring, the same monotony. And I was introduced to medicinal salve making on one of those farms.
Oh,
and
I see.
And then years later, organic farming became really a great big passion of mine. So those were the first seeds of my love for growing things, for being out in nature in that way and producing either food or, in this case, medicines. So I always did small-scale salves and mm-hmm. Medicines. And then in 2013, my neighbor, Roanne Nelson, who'd been doing Cortez creations for 12 years, she asked me if I knew anybody who wanted to continue her business, because she was heading off island and people loved her products because it works. Mm-hmm, and at that point, I knew it worked because I'd been doing massage for 20 years at Hollyhock, and prior to that on my own for 5 years. So I had come across many, many different lotions and potions, and by far that was the best I'd come across. So I certainly wasn't interested in doing that because I had a full life, two little kids, a good massage business and on the go. And then I thought about it and I thought, this could really work for me because I wanted to be outside more. I love our big garden. And I thought, this is my ticket out and into another world. And so I followed up with her and I said, I'll take it over. And she showed me two or three things, and they sold their house way quicker than they thought. And I was on my own, but with my personal experience prior to taking this over, it was a very smooth transition. Just, I didn't realize the business aspect of it all. And of course, that's a very large part. I thought I'd be out in the garden just collecting herbs and making the potions. But there's a huge business aspect, which was a huge learning curve for me.
Before we get to the business aspects, let's go back a little bit to your actually making these things yourself, right? So are you self-taught, or when you were in California, did you learn how to do that, or how did that happen?
I lived at various farms. One of them was the first ever commune in Northern California, and that was really where one of the residents was making salves and showed me how to do this. And so that was my first. And then even when I lived in Toronto, after I'd finished my years at university, I would go to lectures at U of T, which were open to the public, and I was just continuously learning on my own. And then I took some classes here on Cortez in, you know, I came in 94, so in that period, I took several shorter classes on a variety of different medicinal uses for plants, but primarily self-taught, just because how many teachers are there on Cortez?
Exactly, but, that's right. Yeah, no, that's a common thread that I've had here on my in the show here, where people come on and they talk about how they've really, because we're in such a remote location, in a sense, it provides us with the motivation to either do it yourself or, well, you don't do it because there's no choice but to learn yourself. And I think that's great.
And it's also, of course, prior to the internet. So there were no YouTubes to watch. It's just books. So I have a big collection of fabulous books, you know, Rosemary Gladstar and a whole number of very inspirational books with tremendous recipes. And I did take a wonderful course with the lady who used to teach at Hollyhock, and I took some classes with her here as well. So lots of great mentors and inspirational people.
Great. So do you think this activity that you engage in, this making healing balms or healing salves, reflects your personality, and if so, what does that say about you?
Well, it's interesting because I'd say the first few years I was really just keeping my head above water, just trying to keep everything going and familiarizing myself with bottles and jars and all these aspects that I wasn't familiar with. And then what I really missed about my intense massage work was the stillness and the peace of mind, the peace of heart that I would get from engaging with somebody on such a deep level for an hour or plus. And then it dawned on me that that same practice of meditation, of personal practice, could be transferred into this work as well. So when I work with myself, I do this when there are no boys running around the house playing basketball inside or skateboarding inside or whatever. I like it to be quiet. I like the space to be really calm and clean. And when I'm pouring the oils, I say my meditations, I say my metta, I pour in my version of harmony and health and happiness into the jars. So I feel that's a big part of the medicine, that it's not just the plant energy and medicinal value, but actually that loving kindness, the metta meditation, that's a big healing part of it as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you have then your own sort of studio, or you do it in the kitchen, or do you have your own space? Or?
We have a very small house, you know, 600 square feet with an upstairs now. So it's all one big open space. That's why I can't have too much else happening. I don't want dust. I need that space to be clean and up to my standards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So you mentioned a little while ago about the business aspects. What was it that you suddenly realized? So you decided to take up making these salves. Now you need to sell them. What about the business aspect was sort of unexpected for you?
I'd say labeling, because I used to print a fair number of my own labels. I still do. And that required me to be on the computer a lot, and I was used to just emailing and looking up a few things, but not actually doing a whole lot with the computer. So I would spend hours and hours in front of the computer, which was very new to me, and so that opened up a whole nother world, or researching different places where you can buy things, so different suppliers, realizing that, you know, our choice of suppliers in Canada is relatively limited compared to the States, but then choosing to buy local Canadian products, even though I'm imagining most are made in China, but still, you know, all the different sizings of containers. And so I'm back into it right now because I am switching over from plastic into glass containers. So that kind of ties in with my latest inspirational project, which is 10,000 Whales.
That's right. That we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
But so when you get your containers, let's say, you need to source those from somewhere, and you're switching from plastic to glass. Where do you get those supplies from?
There's a fabulous supplier in Vancouver area called Voyageur, and they have many, many things. So most of my products are the containers and whatever I need, oils and that kind of a thing, comes from them. So, but I do order from some other suppliers as well. You know, company in Quebec that supplies me with organic essential oils.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do a fair bit of research just to find a very clean, pure source. I buy organic butters, you know, the shea butters and all that. So they're expensive, but I feel like that is what makes the quality of the product so high.
Absolutely. And so you talk a little bit about changing containers. Do you ever do any sort of market research that would then have you change the types of products that you make?
The recipes are really good. They're really simple, really clean. Mm-hmm. So I'm staying with the salves that are there. Mm-hmm. I've expanded the line a bit because as a massage person, you know, to smell good, you have to have a good deodorant. And I had come across no natural deodorants that worked well. And it was actually a client's daughter of mine who really got me started on this whole deodorant line. Mm-hmm. And because of her, I have a fantastic cream deodorant that works very well. And just this fall, I started a spray deodorant just for people who don't want to actually apply a cream as a deodorant, and just the aspect of not staining clothing with oils. So,
but that's a really good example of how you respond to the market.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
oh, well, that's fantastic. So now we talked a little bit about the products that you source from other places, but you also grow. You have a big garden. What do you produce there?
Well, primarily vegetables, of course, because it's a garden for six people to feed six, because we live on my parents' land. And all the medicinal herbs I'd been growing anyways. So when I took over from Rowan, it was just a matter of expansion and growing on a larger scale. And I was very fortunate to, you know, have Stefan in my life, because he's a great gardener. And both my parents have helped tremendously in, you know, expanding the space and creating more space for all these plants. I have a little bit of a lavender plantation happening.
Nice.
And, you know, a big arnica bed that keeps encroaching on the vegetables. So the vegetable beds get smaller and the arnica bed gets bigger, you know. So, and basically a lot of the medicinal herbs are weeds, so they grow very well on their own. And it's just a matter of cultivating and I joke and I say I cultivate weeds. So,
what can you give us a couple of examples?
Oh, plantain and chickweed and self-heal. They're all plants that want to grow. You know, most of the time we're ripping them out of the garden. Mm-hmm. And so I have them either in, or even calendula. It just, I have them along the edges of beds and I know where they are and I make sure they're thriving. And yeah.
So you talked a little bit about how you source from places like in Vancouver, for example. Do you have, do you bring them in then? So they ship their products up by mail. What are the sort of challenges that you face that way? I mean, is shipping expensive? Is shipping cheap? How do you overcome that?
Shipping is always expensive. Mm. And I ordered some of the glass containers last year just to kind of look at them, get a feel for them. And I realized that shipping glass will be one of my larger expenses.
Yeah, because it's so much heavier than plastic.
So much heavier. But I was really debating between glass and metal containers, stainless steel, recycled metal containers. Mm-hmm. But I found the glass outweighed everything, even the shipping expenses, because of the essential oils in my products mm-hmm. and the potential reactivity with
right.
metal. Even though they say it wouldn't do that. But I have read a few sites where they say if the percentage of essential oils is relatively high, then it would be better to store them in glass. And I just finished a telephone survey with a lot of my customers, mm-hmm. and I asked them, what would you rather, as a consumer, mm-hmm. what would you rather have your products in, glass or metal? And predominantly it was glass. So I'll be offering three different sizes, and you know, one will be definitely more of a travel size mm-hmm. and easy to give away as gifts, and the other two, you know, larger and larger. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a shift from the plastic, which everyone's used to.
But exactly.
I think it's a positive shift, and everyone's been very happy for the planet, for themselves and for the planet. Yeah.
So this sort of leads to the obvious question, where do people find your stuff?
Oh, yeah, primarily at the co-op here, the Cortez Health Food Co-op.
Mm-hmm. In Manson's Landing,
but Squirrel Cove carries it, and the Gorge carries it, and the months that Hollyhock is open, they have it as well. And there's a small store, a beautiful little gift store on Quadra Island called Works of Heart, mm-hmm. and she carries some of my products as well.
You're actually one of the bigger volume sellers at the Cortez Craft Market every summer, isn't that true?
I sell a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. yes. I work very hard. I really use the springtime to create a lot of stock, because I don't only have salves, but I have a lot of other products, a lot of sewn things. So
yes, that's right. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, coming from a massage background, mm-hmm. The eye masks are something I used anyways, and I like functional art. Mm-hmm. So I have fabulous time choosing fabrics, and there is actually a fantastic fabric store in Campbell River. There are two, and they have a quilting section, and so that's where I source my fabrics. And the lady working there is lovely, and her selection is really, really great. So when I'm in town, which is a lot because my boys goes to high school there,
oh, okay.
I'm in the Red Barn quilting section, you know, every couple weeks or at least once a month, checking out, seeing what I love and what would work for the small pieces that I make. So eye masks, I make what are called boo-boo bags, which are little bags for kids that mm-hmm. you can either freeze for cold therapy, or, you know, if they get bruised or hurt, or heat up for when they're feeling, you know, feverish or just need a bit of comfort.
Mm. Do you make the kind that you can heat up in the microwave?
Either microwave, or you can wrap it if you wanted to in foil and put it in a conventional oven. But mm-hmm. it's a little bit more work. Smaller ones like the eye masks and the boo-boo bags, you could lay on a radiator.
Oh, so, yeah.
You know, you just have to be careful. Definitely not on the wood stove directly. And neck and shoulder aromatherapy packs. So
right.
They're not all the products are filled with organic, either flax seeds or flax and wheat combination. So again, high expense for me, but mm-hmm. I'm dedicated to organic, the whole organic revolution, really. Mm-hmm. So since the early 90s, when I was introduced into organics, I really believed in it. And so that carries through consistently in all my products. And
so do you also participate in the weekly markets in the summer?
No, because summer is my very busy time.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And I'm considering this summer just because I really have fun at the winter Christmas markets.
Right.
It's just a matter of me getting organized and getting enough product ready, because I am pumping out the product every day.
Yeah.
And it's just being organized, really. Yeah.
Yeah, because I also participated in the Cortez Crop Market over the summer, and the days that I had to work, I was always selling your stuff.
And a lot of little things, so it's a lot.
That's
of,
right.
Yeah. It's a lot of work, but it keeps me going. It certainly fills my time, and it's a great small business, especially with my life being half here on Cortez these past 3.5 years, mm-hmm. and 2.5 more to go till the boys are fully done high school in Campbell River. So it's a business that allows me a flexibility that I don't know what other business would offer. So I'm very grateful that this fell into my life.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. It sounds absolutely fantastic. So other than Quadra, you don't sell anyplace else off the island?
I have a lot of requests either through the email. They mm-hmm. contact me directly, or they'll contact the craft store, and then that gets passed on to me.
Oh, okay.
Or I get phone calls. You know, I just sent a parcel to Washington. And mm-hmm. There's a steady flow leaving the island via Canada Post. So
fantastic.
Yeah, people, you know, they're either gifted, or they've come along and by boat or whatever, they've discovered the products and they're living internationally, and they then contact me and I'll send it to them.
Now, one of the other things I know you wanted to talk about while you were here is your whale project. What's that all about?
So in September, October, one of my sons introduced us to a YouTube called The Ocean Cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a young man, he's 24 right now, from the Netherlands. And he's in the process of developing this horseshoe-shaped contraption that floats with the ocean currents, collecting garbage, plastic garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And that was launched a couple, maybe 2 or 3 months ago even now.
Oh.
And it's been out there doing its thing. It's definitely a prototype. And just recently I looked on their website and they have brought it back to shore because they need to tweak things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not working as they thought it would. But I was so impressed with this very young man who's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
right now it needs to be adjusted to be fully functional, but they are hoping to get many into the ocean to actually deal with the plastic problem, which is massive, which I knew about, but mm-hmm. what I didn't realize is
floating plastic garbage that's in the ocean, this
exactly.
contraption will collect that somehow.
Collect that,
okay.
And then boats will collect it from these horseshoe-shaped contraptions, and
mm-hmm.
then bring it back to shore for recycling. And any case, you can look that up. You just type in The Ocean Cleanup, and
mm-hmm.
it's very, very inspiring. So I was inspired by that. What I was going to say is I didn't realize the impact of the plastics breaking down in the ocean into microplastics,
mm-hmm.
to the point where even our sea salt is full of microplastics.
Oh.
So all this information was coming at me, and I was deeply shocked and saddened, of course, as everybody is. And then I was sitting with this, and then my brother actually said he would like to, you know, fund this project, this ocean cleanup project.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, oh, I'd love to do that, but I really don't have the spare cash right now before Christmas to do that. And I thought, so I was wondering, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And then an artist in California who's a friend of mine, she's a fabulous artist, and she went on and created this personal, basically a spiritual commitment to herself of painting or creating 10,000 Buddhas.
Mm-hmm.
And this is many years ago, and I was so impressed. And these two ideas of funding the ocean cleanup and creating this 10,000 Buddhas idea,
right,
merged into 10,000 whales. And the reason 10,000 whales is because the whales have come back into these waters, mm-hmm, and we've spent the last three summers sailing with them and just being so enjoying their presence. And so cleaning the oceans, you know, for all the marine creatures, for humanity. And then so 10,000 whales evolved, and this was just less than 2 weeks before the Christmas markets. Mm-hmm. So one of my sons offered, well, Manuel, the younger one, he'd taken some photographs the previous summer from our sailboat of the whales. And so he offered those images, and I had them printed in town as cards. And that was on the Christmas tables at the Christmas craft fair. That, and along with some images that I printed myself, as well as any of the fabric work that I did that had whales on them, mm-hmm, which I was always attracted to anyways, or any ocean-related themes. So basically 10,000 whales, 50% of all profits, I put aside and will be donating to different ocean cleanup efforts. So as of yesterday, I have $430. And I thought that in the next week or so, I will be sending the ocean cleanup my first check.
Fantastic.
So
how can people, if people who are, if listeners want to send something to you now, how would they do that?
If they want to what?
If they wanted to donate to you now and to this effort, or buy some of your cards.
Certainly,
or
donate. Otherwise, I have the cards for sale, mm-hmm, at, through my home, of course. So you can contact me through cortezcreations@hotmail.com. It's also written on all of my products. So if you forget cortezcreations@hotmail.com, you can just look on any of the products that I make. And actually, there's even a 10,000 whales Instagram
page. It's a called 10,000 whales. We'll check it out later. So people can get in touch with you, or if they want to buy some of your cards, at cortezcreations@hotmail.com. And what about at the Gorge or at Manson's or the Co-op?
I haven't gotten them out yet, because mm-hmm, we've just kind of come out of the Christmas season.
Right.
So I will look into seeing and asking the stores if they'd like to carry them in their gift sections, because people have loved it. There's one image of BC ferries and the whale tail just as,
oh, that's nice,
as the humpback is diving. So it's very Cortez Quadra in the background. You know, they're all black and white images. And yeah, we're hoping to go sailing this summer and
get more,
some more photographs and just ocean life and mm-hmm, the beauty of it. And really, my long-term goal is also to approach FOCI, which I've had one conversation already. And
FOCI is
the Friends of Cortez Island, and doing the second donation on a much more local scale.
Mm-hmm.
Just to donate locally for ocean cleanup efforts. So we'll look into that.
So just to finish up here, because we're almost done, our time is almost up. It's amazing how fast these things go by. Is there any advice that you can give to people who live on Cortez Island who might be interested in starting up their own small business or getting sort of involved in maybe the organic movement? Is there any sort of advice you can give people?
In terms of business, I'd say find something that you love to do,
mm-hmm,
because if you love doing something, then it's not as much work. It's something that you put your heart into. A lot of time is put in that cannot even be counted. So if it's something that you love, then you'll do it freely. In terms of organics, it's really not only a movement for your personal health.
Mm-hmm.
It's really to support organic, whether you're growing your own foods or supporting it through buying the foods, is you're doing it for the earth, for the mm-hmm, well-being of the earth. So it's something that I hope to see humanity going towards.
Well, Leslie, thank you very much for coming on the show. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you, Maureen. A pleasure.
Listening to Art on the Island on CKTZ
89.5 FM, Cortez Community Radio,